charge any dealer fees.
William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. It's Out of Bounds on WCCB 105.5 The Roar.
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Clinton has been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiment. USA. 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 USA.
Okay, okay. You know, what does that even prove? Okay, you chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh. This has something to do with numbers and processing. It carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
And welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It's Out of Bounds here on a Monday, January 8th, 2018, otherwise known as the last calendar day, because you know this thing ain't going to be decided before midnight. You got to have a Kendrick concert in there. It's going to be a half hour halftime. It's the only day.
Oh, yeah.
In which a national champion will be named Clemson University remaining in the calendar year.
The last day.
Last day.
The last day. Enjoy it, people. Enjoy it.
Right.
Wear your natty gear today. Obviously, you can wear it forever and ever. But today is the day to wear that natty gear as the last official day as the reigning national champions.
I didn't wear anything football today because, essentially, I'm a little bitter. Not because of the matchup we have or because Alabama shouldn't have been in the playoff or any of this.
So
to me, that's been litigated. That's been litigated. It's fine. Whatever. They got in and they won. And it's been decided on the field. I just can't wait to hear. I mean, they should have Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson call this game just for the abhorrent nature of that call. First and 10, run up the center's butt crack for 2 yards. Oh, the toughest 2 yards ever. That's what we're going to hear all night long. That was the toughest third and one ever in the history of football. The toughest yards and the most brutal championship game since Alabama and LSU played in a game where only one team scored. Remember that one where only one team got across midfield?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. That's the last time we had the most brutal championship game ever. That's what we're going to hear all day.
I'm not wearing any natty gear yet. I'll wear some later. But I am in full black today.
The only thing that anyone could possibly want about this game is more off-tackle runs. Football is about the power. You wearing all black today? Did you come straight from the Golden Globes last night?
That was good.
Boom. That's what I'm talking
about. No, I'm just kind of in mourning because Not for Clemson. I think we're all over that at this point. Maybe some more than others. But just because football season's ending, so it's the end of a season. It's the end of college football for the year, which is always tough for all of us. We're with you. But, I mean, I just think that it's almost funeral-esque when you have an all-SEC championship game. I just think black is warranted today. It's just a solemn occasion. It's a solemn day.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting way of putting it. By the way, the Golden Globes last night, there's nothing I care less about than people who want to... You know what? This is my thing.
Oh, no.
2017, the thing that grinds my gears more than anything else...
It's 2018.
I know that, but that ground my gears. The thing that ground my gears.
The gears have been grounded.
They grinded. My gears were grinded by this more than anything else. And it's people who wanted to make sure that you knew what they weren't doing. Like, I want to make sure you know I'm not watching the NFL. Like, I want to make sure you know I'm not voting for Trump or Hillary or whatever. I want to make sure you know what I'm not doing. That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Tell me what you are doing. Don't tell me what you're not doing. Hmm. If you're not doing it, it doesn't matter. Like, it's like people who say, who make sure that we know, they feel the need to tell us when they're not listening. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we have some of those.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to tell somebody what you're not doing because then your opinion on that thing is not relevant any longer. Just don't do it. There's no point. So, like, people who said last night, man, I'm just not watching the Golden Globes. Well, you know what? Congratulations. You know what? Thanks for telling me what you're not doing. People who say, well, I'm not watching this championship game. Well, you know what? You're a fun sucker. You should watch the game anyway.
I'm glad.
Don't tell us that you're not doing it.
I'm glad you bring that up because we have a poll right now on Twitter at 1055TheRoar. The question is, how do you feel about the national championship game tonight? You have three choices. Can't wait, which means obviously you're very excited.
Right. That's not me.
Your second choice, it's football, so I'll watch. That's your second choice.
Okay.
Third choice, not interested. Those are the three. And right now we've had over 350 votes, so please go vote. I think this has been a topic that people really want to voice their opinion on. 47% say it's football, so I'll watch. 45% say not interested. Not interested at all. Does that mean you're not watching? I don't know. And then 8% say you can't wait. If you want to get in today, we really want to hear what you people are doing. Text us, 986-1566. Are you watching? Are you boycotting because there's no Clemson? Are you boycotting because it's all SEC? Are you pumped because you have family members that went to Georgia or Bama and you have some ties? Just let us know. I'm very intrigued.
I feel like this is a poor start to the show because I'm turning into Ben Milstead about bowl season. Where he like rails on people who say there's too many bowls and just says, just watch the bowls.
Because it's football.
Yeah, like that... We're gonna make fun of this matchup because ultimately it's gonna be a bust. It's not gonna be a great matchup like everybody thinks because it's just not set up that way. The best reason to have a football game is to see which style prevails. That's the best reason. These are the exact same team doing the exact same thing against one another. It's gonna feel like fingernails on a chalkboard the whole time. That's my prediction for tonight's game.
See, most of the time you and I agree for the most part, but I think we differ as a show on this one.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be intriguing.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a bludgeoning. I just think it is going to feel like fingernails on a chalkboard because it's going to be a lot of watching the same plays over and over again for both teams.
Look, we talk about how similar these teams are, and they are. They are. But Georgia also just put up 54 on somebody.
That's true.
Georgia can win in some different ways. I think Bama can win really following about one template. And Georgia's proven to us throughout the year they can win following a few templates. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I think it's going to be a little more varied than you're painting it to be. I don't think you're just going to see, I mean, just a grind out playing the game in a phone booth, running the ball up the middle the whole time. That's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Text from the 706 on the Health Air text line, 9861566 says, can we put up a poll about not answering the poll? Yeah, make sure when
you don't want to answer.
Make sure when you see the tweet and don't vote on the poll that you tweet at us that you didn't vote on the poll because you think it's stupid and everything about everything is stupid and we're not doing it.
I mean, I understand. Obviously, some people, if you are a Clemson fan, you're maybe still a little bitter, and I get that. That's why I'm intrigued. I want to know if you're watching.
Right.
I want to know.
We do.
I also have this wonderment, too. You talked about the Globes last night, Quack.
Yes.
I watched a little bit of the Globes. I like the Globes. I like the
glamour.
I
watched zero of the Globes. I watched more of a Globe on your desk than I did the Golden Globes last night.
I mainly used to watch them when Tina and Amy hosted, you know? because those two are goats.
Well, so did everybody. Right. I mean, that's better than Seth. I love Seth Meyers to death, but come on. You're not beating Tina and Amy.
Well, and I had to see our future president, Oprah, give her speech.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to test this theory. Are you ready? At some point in 2019, well, probably 2018, I need to do this.
Okay.
At some point in 2018, I'm going to just give a speech. Like a 5-minute speech.
Okay.
Because apparently that's all you need to do. And because of the audience, I wouldn't deem to say the president is in the offing. But I think I could become a front runner for governor if all you have to do is give a 5-minute speech.
Well,
and you're a celebrity.
You also, I mean, if you're referencing Oprah, she's also been like a mogul for 30 something years.
Right.
So you have to do that too.
I watched her speech. I thought everything was great, but I didn't think it was like,
but suddenly,
'04, you know what I'm saying? Like Obama's 2004 keynote address that like brought the house down.
Well, okay.
It wasn't the most earth-shattering thing.
The point I was going to make by referencing Oprah.
Yeah.
When you're watching the Globes and you realize there's a whole other world outside the South that exists, right? Where people care about other things besides football. Which seems like a terrible world to live in, first of all.
That, by the way, Hollywood has the same problem when they like go to Nevada or any eastern state that's not like New York or somewhere to film a movie. Because they're like, wait, people have different opinions than us?
Right, exactly.
Oh my gosh, there's a wide range of opinions about life.
So
we had no idea.
My question is, the people in the audience at that thing, all celebrities, right? But the people that watch that show, which I did as well, but maybe not exactly sports fans. If you polled that audience yesterday, Kwok, at the Golden Globes, how many would know who was playing in the national championship? That's what I wondered when I was watching it. And I just wonder, and we'll see by the ratings tonight, and I'm very intrigued by this, but where does this game, like, is this game moving the needle in other places in the country? That's my question. Is it moving the needle in California, in Washington, in Colorado, in Kansas? I mean, in the heart of the Midwest, where they haven't had a football team compete for a national championship since the 90s, you know?
Right.
So I just wonder if it's moving the needle. And it's tough because here in this area, obviously it is. So we really can't find out much by our listeners because it is moving the needle here, as it should, because, you know, we're really close to Athens. We're what, like 70 miles?
Right.
But I'm just wondering if it's going to move the needle nationally. So I'm really interested to see the ratings tomorrow and if people care about this all-SEC matchup.
There are a couple things that you have brought up. And I like you have better opinions than I do about this game because my opinions are all snarky.
Wow.
They're all
yeah.
snarky because I hate this matchup. What do I live for, Kelly, in matchups? What do I live for?
Contrasting styles.
I live for contrasting styles. You give me Oklahoma, Georgia, I live for this. You give me great offense versus great defense, I live for this. I want to see, this game has everything. I don't know why I was doing the Stephon voice, but we'll just go with it. This game has one thing. This game tonight is one thing. There's going to be two teams doing one thing, the same thing. We can't do this game has everything. It's going to be this game has one thing and one thing only, and it's apparently what Southern football is.
Southern football.
Because for the life of me, a 3-yard runoff tackle and running backs that fall forward apparently was invented in the South.
Also, apparently the last two national titles have not been Southern versus Southern matchups because Clemson is not in the South. I mean, the fact that this is suddenly a Southern on Southern matchup that we've been waiting for. Do people know where Clemson is? Clemson is deep in the heart of the South.
That is a question that we should ask the people in Hollywood.
That's true.
Those Golden Globes people, where is Clemson? And the first response would be, and I'm going to use this, even though they're not British, what is a Clemson? What is a Clemson? Where do they come from? Don't you think all actors and actresses like just have that
yeah.
voice like in their
well,
pocket?
Well, that's the voice. We were just at Virginia. That's the voice I do when I talk about Virginia. The University of Virginia. Like, I talk like I'm British.
Virginia.
And they're in Virginia.
Sanders is here. Hey, Sanders.
Sanders, hello.
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
We're doing great. More on Sanders' footwear in a moment. But Kelly, I found the one place where Kelly, as a Duke apologist and homer, feels like she can make fun of the uppity nature of people, and it's the University of Virginia. The way she talked down, up at the University of Virginia, and the way she felt like Virginia talked down to everybody else was hilarious to me as someone who has seen her walk around Duke, University in Durham, North Carolina. And on top of that, like, you're talking about Virginia, like where the capital of Confederacy was, And, well, I guess North Carolina was a Confederacy too, but it feels like you got so much history, like in the South, you know, your grandma told you to, did you watch, like read the road signs as we were driving?
I did my best. Game? Grandma texted me before we went to Charlottesville. She said, quote, keep an eye out for history. And she was exactly right. Yeah. I did. I kept my eye out, Grandma.
Like we're passing like Monticello. We're passing all these great
TJ is everywhere.
Landmarks.
That's the thing about UVA.
Yeah.
You're founded by a president. I mean, that is very uppity. That's very uppity. You're founded by Thomas Jefferson. Duke was founded by some tobacco mogul.
All right, don't say some tobacco mogul.
A president is
like,
pretty uppity.
Duke was founded by a nobody. I'll be like, Duke was founded by a nobody.
Mr. Duke.
Duke was founded by five people just rubbing two nickels together. No, that's not what happened.
And then they became this institution.
That's not what happened. Even Clemson. I mean, Clemson's a nice place, but Clemson, not necessarily in the lap of luxury, right? Thomas Green Clemson was, like, he's a rich guy.
Sure,
he's
but
freaking,
Clemson has much more.
Europe, and he's got a great.
Clemson has much more of a agriculture. It was, you know, funded by. I mean, like, Clemson is build right, yourself up by your bootstraps.
But it also.
UVA's founded by a president.
It also wasn't founded by six peanut farmers there in a back room decided they're going to open a school. That's not what happened at Clemson. No college is about, just established by nobody. No college is like, well, we got 12 buddies over here. How much money you going to throw in there? All right, $50. All right, let's go start us a school. No school's like that.
Yes, but TJ wrote the Declaration of Independence. That is pretty, I mean, that's uppity quack. UVA is uppity. You know how I feel about UVA.
I do.
There's columns everywhere.
You know
there's
what actually
brick,
happened?
There's brick inside of your basketball arena.
That's true. That was a great arena.
I mean, come, it's
that
a beautiful
was
a arena, but it's
arena.
So UVA.
My gosh.
It is so UVA.
They did everything when we walked in the door. Like some plays they walked in the door and they're like, it's like, what's the short lady on like Parks and Rec and a couple stories? Like her name's Estelle, like on every show.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, how can I help you? That's her voice. Like that's what we get at many arenas
like,
where
come
you got
on
like, the
in,
one
yeah.
guy that's like, hey. Hey, you go that way. Man, they basically rolled out a carpet, had a Trump. It was basically like every time Jimbo Fisher lands at the airport
yep.
where they're clapping. They're like, welcome to Virginia Clemson. And then like, you know, we had the one security guy that wasn't the nicest. But other than that, they were like lined up there like, hey, welcome. Welcome to Virginia. We're so glad to have you here, like shaking our hands and making us feel great. We felt the need to take off our hats and tip our hats.
Mm-hmm.
We felt like royalty. I gotta give props on that.
Most of the time when we walk into an arena for women's basketball, you can kind of go where you want, right? Security's not exactly at the highest. It's not at the peak.
You're saying they're not really checking?
No, I mean, I think you can get in there if you need to.
Right.
Not
at Virginia.
At Virginia.
No.
These guys were on walkie-talkies. The phrase 10-4 was used.
The phrase was also used, I can't believe you got this far without credentials. That's what we had.
Oh, it was really funny. I mean, it was intense. It was intense.
Man.
But anyway.
That was really fun.
Yes, I think UVA is uppity, and I think they think they're better than everyone.
Well, I mean, they're pretty good.
I mean.
when you put Theo Pinson on a poster twice, you can be that way.
And speaking of ACC basketball, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Kwok, do you know where Clemson is currently ranked in the new AP poll?
I don't as
of
this moment.
Have you seen it?
No, I've not. This will be breaking news to me.
Can you guess? They moved up. I'll give you a hint.
Are they top 20?
Let's see. I'm going to go 21.
Guys.
I'm going to say 17.
Guys, Clemson is currently ranked 19th. In the country in men's basketball, in the AP poll.
Basketball
19th?
School.
Who is ranked below Clemson, you ask? North Carolina is ranked 20th. Kentucky is ranked 21st. Clemson is currently ranked higher than Kentucky and North Carolina in men's basketball.
How about
Let
that?
Let that sink in for a second.
Clemson is tied for the best win percentage in the country. Saw that yesterday from Tim Bray. And has more league wins than UNC and Duke combined.
Besides Auburn... Tigers are the lowest ranked one loss team besides Auburn.
By the way, if your Duke team doesn't start giving up less than 90, I'm oh my gosh.
We need to talk about this because I wrote my column about the tiers,
Lord
right? We talked about
heaven.
The tiers of the ACC. I think things changed just over this weekend because UNC lost again and looked terrible. Duke can't guard a single human being on the planet. So I don't know how they're going to win games. If you can't beat NC State, who can you beat? Clemson beat them by 20. And the Tigers get a gutsy win over Louisville. We'll talk more about this as the show goes on. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the tiers are starting to shift a little bit in terms of which teams are where in the ACC.
I want to make the case that everyone's going 9-9. Everyone's going 9-9. Everyone sucks. Do ACC basketball 2018. Everyone sucks. Stay with us. We're going to talk football today, 654. I actually have legitimate things to discuss about the football game today while I talk down to both fan bases who are going to tell us how it's so Southern and awesome when we get those two tough yards. Why throw it ever? Or we get that tonight. Also, we get today ACC basketball. Some of the NFL playoff action was really fun over the weekend. And then Ted Valentine, we didn't really talk about this last week, but I'd like to touch on that at some point. Because I think social media is turning sports into something that is just, to me, is just really bad. I mean, just really bad for it. Not saying that Ted Valentine's okay, but I hear what he's saying, and I want to discuss it at some point. We may not get to that today. Stay with us. You can call us 654 Roar the Northern Communication phone lines. More Out of Bounds next.
So many cool cars and trucks you won't want to blink. It's the South Carolina International Auto Show,
presented by Motor Trend.
It all happens January 12th through the 14th at the TD Convention Center. Come see hundreds of the hottest new cars, new trucks, SUVs, luxury vehicles, classics, and a lot more. Test drive over 20 models right at the show. Bring the whole family. Kids 12 and under get in free every day. It's the South Carolina International Auto Show,
January 12th through the 14th.
Discounts available at the UPS store, Spinks, or go to southcarolinaautoshow.com.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
The air is cooling down, and what better time to snuggle down in a new comfortable mattress from Simmons Mattress Outlet. With the lowest prices in the upstate, you can buy a mattress and still have money to spare. And don't forget, the box springs are free with your purchase of a new mattress. If you are really looking to pamper yourself, ask about adjustable bases, but hurry, they move quickly. Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
It's that time of year again when we have ice and snowstorms. Have your fireplace ready to go with vent-free gas logs from the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Vent-free logs and stove use no electricity and will keep you warm and cozy even during a power failure. The Craft Stove Store and Patio has 20 burning models of vented and vent-free gas logs for you to see. Be ready for winter storms with gas logs from the Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
The holidays are over and your guests have left your carpet looking like a mess. Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning can help. For the month of January, you get three rooms cleaned for $109 when you mention my name, Mickey. Call now at 558-7300. That's 558-7300. Or visit ZeroResGreenville.com to make your appointment. Get three rooms cleaned for only $109 when you mention my name, Mickey. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning special.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialist can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Oh. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yes.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Hey, where you laying? Don't make a sound. I know they're watching. They're watching. All the commotion. Half people talking.
All right, welcome back. Glad I have you with us. 654-ROAR is the phone number. If you'd like to get in on the Northland Communication phone lines today, we'll get to the phones in a moment. Would you like to talk about the regionalization? I think that is the most fascinating aspect of this game, that somehow this has become like the epitome of Southern football going up against one another. And I just think that is completely ludicrous.
I'd love to read this to you. It's from our dear friends at CBS Sports, a site that you and I both trust.
We do.
And this is
a site that also has a show on a weekly basis that is called The SEC on CBS. But go ahead. Yeah.
This is true. This is by Dennis Dodd. I just want to read you the first three sentences here. And because they're painting this game as, like we said, the epitome of Southern football, where the last two national championships have been played by two teams in the Deep South as well, but it seems like it didn't really qualify. I don't know why. Here's the beginning of this article. If this college football playoff national championship were any more Southern, it would be played in a Waffle House. Hold up a mirror to Alabama versus Georgia. Bubba, it's you. And everything you've loved reflected right back. All that and a side of sausage and grits. Southern pride, Southern fried. That's the beginning of this article.
Well, I think we know what his premise is.
I think it's hilarious how people forget that the last two national titles were played between two very Southern teams. But just because it's another SEC team, we finally have an all-Southern natty. It's ridiculous.
Were they played by Southern teams, though, the last two?
Is Clemson in South Carolina, which is in the Deep South?
You know, at the risk of sounding too elitist cultural appropriation is something that is quite interesting that is discussed at the university, sort of the academic level, like appropriation, like gender appropriation.
Academia.
Racial appropriation. These are things we talk about. To me, this is a great example of cultural appropriation in the sport of football. And I want to discuss it in a little bit. First, let's go to the phones. Lee from Greenwood's up with us next. You can call us today. Any thoughts on a game, thoughts on Clemson basketball, who wins every game now and never loses, beating Louisville in overtime? You could talk about that, the ACC, stuff that happened. How about Fran McCaffrey hitting the boiler again? Like, that guy, there are things that I'd like to say about him that would be hilarious that I can't say on the air because I think they're borderline. They're just borderline. They're not worth it. It's not worth the flack I would get. But I have thoughts on Fran McCaffrey that if in a private conversation I'll share with you. Let's go to Lee from Greenwood is up with us next. Lee, what's going on?
What's going on, Quark? Hope you guys had a good weekend, man.
We're doing great.
As always, I love when you come in on a Monday and you're salty about something, so it's always good, even if it's Virginia. And I also highly recommend that people go back and listen to the segment about the Oregonian gas struggle. That's probably like one of my all-time favorite like segments you guys have ever done. I was going to give a kind of a quick score on the game tonight, and then I was going to make a comment about the basketball team. But I'm thinking tonight's going to be very defensive minded, very defensive oriented, and I think there might be something that happens maybe late, maybe in special teams. But I'm gonna go Alabama 24, Georgia 13 as my score for tonight. And then as far as Clemson basketball goes, just really good to see them. Really good to see them kind of tough out a game where, you know, not only they were really, really struggling from beyond the arc. I think they were like 5 for 21 going up to those last two big threes by DeVoe to kind of put the game away. And just to see them toughen that out, close out a game, two games in a row they closed out at the free throw line. So I got two questions for you guys, and I can take it off the air. First of all, what do you think is a way too early magic number for this team to quite possibly win a regular season ACC title? And then the second question is, as far as minutes go with these guys, especially our guards, do you think that we'll be able to sustain the minutes for these guys going down the stretch? And I'll take it off the air. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Lee. We appreciate it. To the second question, I think this is totally sustainable because we have seen individuals ebb and flow from game to game, within games. even on Saturday, Dante Grantham was not great from the floor. What was he like, 2 for 11 or something from the floor? And they still were able to beat a Louisville team that guards really well because Marquise Reed made some individual plays. Reed has struggled from the floor at times. You get Shelton Mitchell involved in there. Elijah Thomas pushing a double-double. You beat a Louisville team that had two guys at double-figure rebounds with height. I said this before on paper. If you just look at the way the two teams are playing, Clemson looks better than Louisville, but the matchup isn't great for Clemson because Louisville's got size that Clemson hasn't seen, and they've got more size than most of the teams Clemson will play from now to the end of the year as well. I mean, Duke would be one of the rare exceptions there in terms of the length and athleticism, but regardless of that, and Louisville had veteran guards in there as well. I feel like this is totally sustainable because it's not like we've seen Clemson win one way. As you were just talking about, Alabama winning one way, Georgia winning multiple ways. To me, we've seen Clemson win a game where you got to score 80 points to win, where you got to score 55 or 60 points to win.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them grind it out. We've seen them play high possession games. We've seen them win in the half court, the full court. We've seen them win with paint points and three-pointers, and their rebounding is good, and they're not fouling, but they're making free throws. And like there are a lot of ingredients here to this Clemson team. It's not a one-trick pony where they're playing one way and that's the way that's working.
Right, and I felt really good when that game went to overtime because I thought it was only a matter of time before Clemson made some shots. They scored 23 points in that first half and 19 in overtime.
Yeah.
This team had 55 points at the end of regulation, then exploded for like 20 in 5 minutes. So when you make shots, it's amazing the difference it makes. But I think that Lee makes a good point when you talk about Clemson's depth. There are very few teams in college basketball that have really good guard depth, meaning
yes.
You can play, you really believe that you have a backup behind every starting guard that can go in there and give you 20 or something minutes. That's very rare. But I do think it's somewhat of a concern that Clemson relies so much on its starting five. That being said, it's not abnormal. A lot of college basketball teams rely a lot on their starting five. So if you have someone getting foul trouble at that guard spot, I think you could run into some trouble down the stretch if you have to play Clyde Trapp for more than 4 minutes. But when you look at the Louisville box score, the four guys that came off the bench, Mark Donnell played 13 minutes, Scara played 12, Amir Sims played 8. The only guard that played minutes off the bench was Clyde Trapp, and he played 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You have Gay playing 42 minutes, Shelton playing 39, Marquise played 44 of 45 minutes. It's okay because almost every team has this situation. But would you like to see maybe Clyde Trapp step up a little bit at times? Yes. But also, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you don't want to see him have to. That's the problem. So I think that depth could be a concern going forward, but I don't think it's a major concern for this team.
You're going to need a couple blowout wins. Games
so
where you
can get some guys some experience.
You need
sure.
that coming down the straight. You can't do that every night. But you do have guys like when I look at Marquise Reed, I see an Energizer Bunny type player that doesn't seem to wear down over the course of games. It doesn't seem to wear down game to game because he loves to play.
He played 44 minutes, was 8 of 17 from the floor. And you speak to Dante's struggles. He was 2 of 11. Shelton was 2 of 13.
That's true.
Shelton pretty much scored all of his points from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So. I think Lee's exactly right. It was really encouraging to see this team win a game where they just did not shoot it well at all.
I think the magic number to win the league, this is going to sound low. I think the magic number to win the league is 13, or at least share it.
13-5.
You might have to go 14-4 to win it, but I think 13-5, and here's why. I know it's a small sample size, but I'm looking at this the same way I did last week. If you look at the action over the weekend, teams that should have won on the road lost. Home teams in the ACC, I think I'm quoting the stat right, are 18-4 so far. Now, again, small sample size. It's early in the season. And maybe teams get more comfortable as time goes on. But even one of those four wins was Notre Dame winning at Syracuse without his two best players, Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell. And Colson's out for a while. The only conference in America in league games that has a better home court win percentage is the Ivy League. And they played two league games so far. Home teams are 2-0. Among teams,
wow.
You know, leagues that have played a bunch of games, the home teams are 18-4. That's the best home court advantage in the league or of all the leagues in the country in ACC.
What's fascinating is if you say you need to go... Let's err on the side of you need a little more wins. So let's say 14-4 to win the league.
Okay.
Teams like Duke, Florida State, Syracuse, and North Carolina all already have two losses.
Correct.
Meaning you have to basically run the table with two more losses.
Yeah.
That really hurts you. When you lose two games early, if 14-4 is going to win this, maybe even 13-5, Clemson, Virginia, and Notre Dame's tough right now because they don't have Bonzi Colson. So I can't really take, honestly, I can't really take them seriously right now because right. they don't have Bonzi Colson.
Even though they played well in his absence, they want to know without him.
They have. But they, I mean, they played NC State. Did they not? Is that who they played?
They played Syracuse.
Oh, they played
Syracuse.
They
went to Syracuse and won
they
by
played
two.
Both. They played two games without
him. At the
him.
Buzzer. Yeah, well, he got hurt.
In practice before the NC State.
He got hurt in practice for NC State, and then Farrell got hurt in the NC State, and they blasted NC State.
But when you look at the undefeated teams, Clemson, UVA, and Notre Dame, Clemson and UVA, again, you're only 1/6 of the way through the year, but when you don't have a single loss yet, and you can only lose maybe five to win the league, they have a serious advantage when Duke and UNC and Florida State already have two losses.
Clemson hasn't played the toughest schedule so far, but I wouldn't say that the most likely outcome had him at 3-0. I would say the most likely outcome had him losing either at BC or, which, by the way, Wake Forest has done and Duke has done so far this year.
Or to Louisville.
Or to Louisville at home. You're not going to lose to NC State at home, which makes Thursday's game really interesting at NC State because they're coming off a big win against Duke, and you expect a team with the maturity level of NC State to fall flat the next time out, to play super-duper great against Duke and not be able to bring it, but they are playing back-to-back home games. For a team like North Carolina, for instance, they had to play back-to-back road games. Tough road games this week. Not little mamby-pamby road. They had to go to Florida State, and then they had to go to
UVA
this week. That's right.
So, yeah, that's a brutal opening stretch.
I mean, if you're asking me in a vacuum who's going to win both of those games, I would say not North Carolina. They're not going to win either one of those games. So people are making it out to be that North Carolina's got a disappointing start. To me, the more disappointing start of the North Carolina Powers is Duke.
Sure.
And it's because they're not guarding. And one statement about that real quick. In fact, I want to talk about this on the other side of the break. Because there's something interesting about this Clemson team and about last year's Clemson team that feeds into the Duke discussion. And I think it's so interesting that by this point of the year, it's hard to correct. We'll go to Chuck on the other side as well. This hour brought to you in part by our friends at RFA. We love those guys.
That's right. Retirement Funding Advisors 2018 is here, people. We are 8 days into the new year. It's time to evaluate your retirement plan needs. Business owners, now is the time. Here are some questions that Carson at Retirement Funding Advisors would like to ask you. Is your plan meeting your goals and objectives? That's the first question. Secondly, do you know if the fees and expenses you pay for your plan are reasonable? And maybe you're not quite sure what type of retirement plan is best for your business. Carson can handle all these questions. Call him today, 864-430-8544. Get your business set up for success in 2018. Also visit them online at retirementfa.com.
Our friend Mr. Anna Fender says, when's the last time this happened? Clemson ranked, did you say this already?
I did.
Ahead of North Carolina, Kentucky, ahead of Florida State, ahead of teams like Tennessee, and right in the same ballpark with teams like Miami and Arizona with legit expectations this year.
Forget Tennessee and Florida State. I don't care about them. Clemson is ranked higher than North Carolina and Kentucky. Just let that sink in. That's crazy.
Boy.
That's crazy.
If Clemson, North Carolina playing in Chapel Hill, you still taking the Tar Heels? Neutral floor right now. We'll say neutral floor right here.
With how UNC is reeling right now, I'm taking Clemson.
They did play two road games. Like, I think we can
floor.
Yeah. I think we can overhype the struggles that they've had because they played two really good teams very talented.
Hey, Quack.
Yeah.
UNC also lost to Wofford. Remember?
Now, that's true. They've not had a good few weeks.
They lost to Wofford in the Dean Dome. Did we already forget this? That is not something that we can let people forget. North Carolina lost to Wofford in the Dean Dome.
Disrespectful to Wofford. They can play.
What are they, 7-5?
Yeah.
This isn't an undefeated Wofford squad here, people. Wofford's good. That's fine.
More on this and other things when we return to break down the greatest national championship in power running history when we return next.
Join Walt live at the TD Convention Center for the South Carolina Auto Show Friday, January 12th from 3 to 7. Check out the latest in automotive excellence and listen to Walt live Friday, January 12th at the South Carolina Auto Show in Greenville.
Hi, I'm Dabo Sweeney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean.
Jackson Hewitt has big news. The no-fee refund advance just got bigger. Now you could get up to $3,200 today. Go to Jackson Hewitt and you could get up to $3,200 with a bigger-than-ever no-fee refund advance 0% APR loan. Don't delay. Go to Jackson Hewitt today and you could get up to $3,200. Optional tax refund loan provided by MetaBank. Not the actual tax refund. You can e-file without applying. Fees for other optional products may apply. Availability and loan amounts subject to conditions and locations. Bigger is a comparison to the maximum loan amounts previously available for the refund advance at Jackson Hewitt. Details at JacksonHewitt.com.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Hey folks, Qualk here. I want to talk to you about keeping those New Year's resolutions for real this year and how you can do it with Harrys.com. Want your resolutions to save more money, maybe spend less money? Don't cut out any luxuries you love. Just shave with Harry's. It's high quality for less money. That's an easy answer. What about taking better physical care of yourself? Well, Harry's products have won countless grooming awards and they'll keep you looking and feeling great. Trust me, I've used Harry's for years. It's an unbelievable shave for an amazing cost. The trial set of Harry's includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave this new year. The weighted ergonomic handle, the five precision engineer blades, the lubricating strip and trimmer blade, the rich lathering shave gel, the convenient travel blade cover. They're so confident you're going to love their blades. They want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. And plus, as a special offer for fans of the show, go to Harrys.com right now. Enter code OOB at checkout to get their soothing post-shave balm, also free. That's Harrys.com, code OOB, and have a happy new year.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. Pick up a box for your business or church meeting. Share them with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
To secure an escape from reality.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Nice to meet you, where you been? I could show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake. Love's a game, wanna play.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. The regionalization in college football, breakdown of the national championship game coming up, but we were talking basketball in the last segment. We encourage you to call us and talk any of those things, 654-ROAR. Thoughts on the NFL playoffs where there were really no blowouts and two of the road teams won. I was remember we said this on air that like one of the road teams going to win.
It's going to happen.
And I actually said that I would pick the Chiefs to cover, but that because the Chiefs can be flighty, that I trusted the Titans to win the game more than it. And also the Titans have won some games where they did not look good and they somehow win at the end. Like, yes. They've done that all year.
That's been like their whole season.
There was a point, by the way, that I thought for sure the Falcons are going to lose because, you know, they blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs blew an 18-point lead in that game. And then the Falcons are up double digits. And I was like, well, teams that have been up double digits have lost back-to-back playoff games. So this is going to be fun to tweet if the Falcons blow this.
Matt Ryan was on a mission.
They played great. They did. Their defense played great, too, mm-hmm. against Sean McVay's vaunted offense.
What about the Classic. I mean, this game will be on ESPN Classic for years to come. The 10-3 victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Buffalo Bills.
Couple thoughts on this. First of all, the tweet about the people who say baseball is boring that I retweeted last night.
Yeah, that was good.
The people, if anybody that's going to come, before you hit send on your baseball is boring tweets, just know that you just watched the Jaguars and Bills punt the ball to each other for 3 hours.
Yeah, you did.
That's true.
You did.
That's true. And thought it was riveting. 3rd and 9, drag routes for 3 yards instead of field position battle. Great! 2-2 foul ball. Disaster. Make you want to end your life or something. The second thing on that game is, I don't want to hear anybody saying this Alabama-Georgia game is going to be great ripping that Jaguars-Bills game. Because you know what this game is going to turn into, right? Bunch of safe, like 3rd and 8, bunch of like safe checkdowns to the running backs, and we're going to play field position and punt the ball, and it's not going to be wide open, and it's going to feel like an NFL playoff game where it's like 13-10. That's what it's going to feel like. Now, there might be more points scored because we play more possessions now in football, but that's what it's going to feel like.
Georgia-Bama will be more entertaining than Bills-Jags.
I
promise you that.
It could be.
That is a Kelly guarantee. I don't know what that means, but it is. I'm guaranteeing it.
Aren't people talking about this game like we used to talk about LSU-Bama back in the day?
I don't
when
think
it would be
so,
like
Clark.
9-6?
Clark, I think you're kind of making this up in your head. I don't think it's going to be like this because Georgia just scored 54 points.
So did LSU.
When?
Some of those, they score it against like the, you know, middle of the pack defense. Oklahoma's a middle of the pack defense. We thought Georgia
okay,
was scoring
well,
a bunch
going,
of points.
You're going like 10 years ago. I just don't think it's going to be a complete knockout drag out. I think these teams are going to be the lowest scoring it could be is maybe 21-13 or something like that. But I think it's going to be more 27-21, something of that nature.
S&P has it like 27-25.
Yeah, that's about what I feel.
That seems right. I'm gonna give you a reason why I think
so
the first one to 17 might win.
If 27-24 is deathly boring to you, then I can't help you.
Well, if that's what happens, it won't be boring. I think there's a real good chance.
I mean,
it's like
not
going to
be 45-40 or 35-31 like Clemson-Bama because this is Southern football, and Clemson and Bama was not Southern football.
All right, one other thing before we get to that, because that's going to lead to a really good discussion. I'm going to get to Chuck's phone call as well. One thing about Duke, I was watching Duke on Saturday, and I thought this very thing, and I've thought it watching Clemson in the past, too, and I've said it about Clemson. You know, generally speaking, teams that are good on defense are good on defense. Programs that are good on defense are good on defense. And you know why that is? Because not only are you good on defense, but the other team knows you're good on defense. So even when you're not guarding well on a given possession, if you have a reputation for guarding well, here's what happens in the mind of shooters and scorers. There's always another defender. There's always, if you're open, there's always a catch. Like they want you to be open. Like, why am I open right now? They're about to trap me. Everything's rushed on my end as a shooter, as a scorer. Everything's rushed. And teams that have a defensive reputation generally don't give up that reputation because everybody knows that's their reputation. Like, at this point, Virginia is never not going to be bad on defense because on November 1st, when teams start preparing for Virginia and scouting Virginia, they know that Virginia's good on defense. So the first team that plays Virginia knows Virginia's good on defense, and they're not scoring. And the second team that plays Virginia knows they're good on defense, and they're not scoring. And the third team that plays them knows they're good on defense, and they're not scoring. Until you get some empirical evidence that a team's not good on defense and a fearless team exposes some things, you're going to be good on defense. The last 2 years, Clemson hasn't bothered people. Because they haven't taken stuff away. Like, the reason Clemson's program slipped wasn't anything other than, I think, from game to game, people didn't respect Clemson defensively. I think people respected Brad Brownell defensively, because we're seeing it this year. That even when Clemson doesn't close out well on shooters, they're missing. That even when Clemson doesn't block a shot, it's almost like they're bothered just by the circumstance. That shots at the rim are going to be bothered, and so you're bothered when you go up for a shot in the lane. When you drive on Clemson, you're constantly looking around wondering who's going to come back from the backside to steal the ball. What, they steal like 15, 16 times or whatever? Didn't Clemson have 15 steals?
15 steals. Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, I think Marcus Reed had 5. More block shots, more steals than Louisville did, who's a pesky defensive team who plays well also.
I guess this makes sense when you think about the game, but Eli had 5 blocks.
Yeah, 5 blocks. 4 steals, didn't he? Didn't he have 4 steals?
No, he had 4 turnovers. 3 steals.
Three steals, that's right. 3 steals, okay. So
you've got a bunch of different things with this Clemson team that when the game tips off, that teams are expecting to be bothered by Clemson. Last year at this time, teams were not expecting to be bothered by Clemson. 2 years ago at this time, teams were not expecting to be bothered by Clemson. To me, Duke's issue on defense is that teams go into games knowing they're going to be comfortable. Boston College, the reason you make tough shots is because tough shots feel like easy shots because you're not being bothered. You get the shot that you want. NC State was not bothered for a moment. Inside, on the perimeter, driving, dishing, shooting, nothing. They were not bothered by Duke at all. They knew Duke would foul underneath. The weaknesses of the youth and the inexperience and lack of leadership on the roster were exposed. And so people are asking the question on Twitter on Saturday night, what do you do about Duke's defense? And I would argue that you've got to do anything and everything because the damage in February has already been done right now. Unless you put together some games where you just flat out get after it and stop people.
Duke has no defensive identity. That Correct. Is for darn sure.
Yes.
They don't really have an identity. And I've made this clear, I think, on past shows, but I feel so strongly about it now. I am so fed up watching Duke. I really don't want to do it anymore. And this sounds terrible, I know. But the one-and-done situation, the way Duke has embraced it, as someone who follows Duke basketball, you don't know the roster year in and year out. It's extremely frustrating. And I think that is reflective as why Duke's been so bad on defense the past couple of years. In order to be good on defense, Quack, don't you think you need some sort... Generally, you need a guy that sets a tone defensively.
Yes.
You need a guy that's your best defender that you can put on somebody to lock down their best player. Or just a guy that's a glue guy that is out there to play defense, to make hustle plays, to get block shots, to do the little things.
Duke's best teams have that at the lead
right.
guard, too.
What one and done is willing to do the little things, to get on the floor, to play good defense, to score, I don't know, 5 points a game, but also force turnovers, get on the floor, be the glue guy. They don't have that anymore because every single guy's a one-and-done guy. There's no Emile Jefferson, for example. You know? You don't have that. And so I think that's the main issue with Duke recently is when you have every guy that's a one-and-done guy, you don't have a glue. You don't have a guy that is there for Duke. Every one of those guys is there for themselves. I mean, that's what the one-and-done era is.
You know who the best defender that gives you the best identity, but it's not reflected in the rest of the team? And that's why I can't say it's a leadership thing. Is Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
Grayson Allen plays harder than anybody else on the floor for Duke. He busted defensively, but he's not a great lateral defender. He just can't level off ball handling.
He's not an elite defender, but I would say, and I think people might, you know, they might not like this comment or whatever because people hate Grayson, but I would say Grayson plays for Duke. He doesn't play for himself. I'm not trying to sit here and say every guy on Duke is selfish and a terrible person. No, but the reality is they are one and dones. They are there as a stepping stone to the NBA. And one of the big differences, I think, with Clemson this year is every one of those five starters is playing for Clemson. I think it's very obvious.
There's
they just want to win.
Identity.
They just want to win. That's the difference.
One thing about Grayson, I said this during the BC game, that he played harder than anybody else on the floor, and they still give up 90.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you know it's not leadership. Like, he's there, and he probably should be because of experience and because of how emotional he is and things of that nature. Like, he should be the leader, but there's some disconnect there, and I don't know who the leader is on Duke's team.
No. I guess it's Marvin Bagley, but, I mean, he's also 18. I just don't know if he can be. And it's also tough when you don't have any sort of leadership at the guard position.
Yeah.
That's always difficult.
I've said this forever. Even teams like the Anthony Davis Kentucky team that won it all, even that team had a core of guys that had been in a program that they looked to for minutes off the bench, filling roles, that type of thing. We still have not seen a team that is just dominated in the intangible things by freshmen, that doesn't have an intangible core that can lift the spirits of the team or lead the team to the promised land. We have not seen a team that's relying on freshmen to do that, and even some sophomores that's gotten there. It's been upperclassmen or at least like second year guys that have been put in specific roles for a number of years that's been able to do that.
And we've seen it a lot the past couple years. Think of the last two Final Fours. Think of the last two national champions. UNC, no one-and-dones on that team, right? Villanova, the same. Gonzaga played for a title. Obviously, UNC played for another one as well. Last year's Final Four, you had South Carolina, who was full of four-year guys, no one-and-dones. You had Oregon, who was full of, they had, the sophomore was really good, but he left, but he wasn't a one-and-done.
Dylan Brooks and those guys,
right.
Yeah.
Jordan Bell. I mean, Jordan Bell. These guys had been there forever. So we always talk about college basketball having a one-and-done problem, but when you look at the top 10 released today, Kwok, Villanova's one. Are they a one-and-done program?
No, they're not.
West Virginia?
No.
Virginia?
No.
Michigan State?
No.
Miles Bridges came back?
Miles Bridges could have been one and done and chose not to.
Purdue.
In fact, Tom Izzo told him to leave and he said no.
Right. Purdue.
No.
Wichita State.
No.
Duke.
Yes.
Texas Tech.
No.
Oklahoma.
No.
Kind
well,
of
Trey
with Trae Young,
do
but
it, yeah.
They went to a Final Four with a team without one and done.
He didn't think he was one and done when they brought him in.
And then Xavier.
No.
That's your top 10. Of the top 10, there is one program that is specifically a one and done program. So we always talk about this one and done problem. I think it's starting to weed itself out a little bit. Because even though Duke's going to compete down the stretch because they're so talented, the formula for winning the past couple years has not been with the one-and-dones.
Correct.
I mean, that's just
you
that's,
can't win
that's
one
the
and
truth.
Done. You
yeah.
can't win with all babies. You can't win with little babies out there. You can't do it. Although Zion Williamson's going to look great. In
well,
all
but see, if Zion comes, will he have a core surrounding him of seniors and juniors that have done it before?
Yes, he will.
Exactly right.
There we go. You can't just put lipstick on a pig with a one-and-done. The LSU Marquette with Henry Ellenson.
Thank you, Governor Palin.
You can't do it. You can't put lipstick on that pig. You're welcome. I don't have a good, it's Ambassador Palin now.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have a good Sarah Palin impression.
Yeah, you probably don't.
Whatever.
You mean you start working on your Oprah, though.
Huh?
You start working on your Oprah.
Sarah Palin's not an ambassador. That was stupid.
No, she's not an ambassador.
I don't know what
she's
she
a
is.
Reality TV star.
Yeah, she's not doing anything.
I went with it because you generally know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
but in my
not.
Mind, I thought, what the heck are you talking
she's
about?
She's out of, I thought she, well, for, I don't know. It was
how
a
dare you
slip
confuse
right
Palin and Nikki Haley? She's an ambassador.
Oh, she is an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Clemson
true. I didn't even think about that. True story. All right, Chuck, we're out of time. Apologies. We'll get to you at the top of hour two. Hang on with us. 654 Roar, if you'd like to get in on the great clash of Titans, the most Southern football game in the history of time. It's Southern football at its finest. Hour two is coming up next.
From the Priority One Security Studios.